are so honored to have with us during the first portion of the program the Commissioner for the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development, Catherine Smith, and Chris DePentema of Middletown-based Pegasus Manufacturing and President of the Aerospace Components Manufacturers. And we say welcome to you both.
Good afternoon.
Great to be with you.
Let's, in general terms, Commissioner, I'll start with you. The aerospace industry in Connecticut, where does it stand?
Well, it's a very important and thriving part of the economy here, worth about $27 billion to the economy. And it employs probably around 10% of the workers here in the state work in manufacturing, advanced manufacturing primarily, with aerospace being probably one of the largest components of those numbers. And, of course, we also export about $15 billion worth of business every year from the state, and again, in large measure, due to the very intense concentration we have in aerospace manufacturing. So it's a really important and vibrant part of the economy.
Now, Chris, explain to our audience what the Aerospace Components Manufacturers is all about. I'm going to ask you to get right into that microphone.
Sure. Yeah, right. So the Aerospace Components Manufacturers is a cluster group. In the 90s, there was a study by a gentleman named Michael Porter who did a lot of studies on cluster groups and how vibrant they could be when companies work with each other. And so in the late 90s, a bunch of cluster associations were launched, and the Aerospace Components Manufacturers is probably one of the last ones left. And it's thrived over the 17 years. The Aerospace Components Manufacturers group has grown from four original members to now we have about 118 members, representing about 7,000 employees in the state of Connecticut, about $3 billion in revenue. And within each other, we spend about $100 million a year just on spend, intercompany, intermembership spend. Very vibrant group. We've been growing about 15 to 20% year over year. The past 4 or 5 years, the cluster has been growing.
Can I add, Dan,
sure.
I have a chance to work with a lot of the different industries here, and this cluster, this organization is really impressive. They really support each other in exactly the way you'd want to see a cluster work together. Training is done together. They can work on contracting, or not contracting, but influencing people like the state government on where they need assistance or training and what we should be doing with our education systems. Listening to that one voice is very, very helpful for those of us in the policymaking side. So hats off, and Chris is the current chairman. He's doing a terrific job.
Now that leads us to what is going to happen not only now, but down the road, and that's career opportunities and job vacancies in the aerospace industry. Where does that stand? Chris, I'll ask you first.
There's a tremendous need right now because a lot of the aerospace industry is going through a huge growth. Right now, most of the major customers, Boeing and Airbus, Pratt & Whitney, GE, and Rolls-Royce, where the engine manufacturers have 5 to 7 year backlogs, meaning if you ordered a plane today, you wouldn't see it for 6, 7 years down the road. So a lot of us are trying to add talent to support the growth. In addition, we've got an aging workforce here, and so we have folks who will be retiring over the next 1 to 5 years who also needed to be backfilled. So there's a tremendous demand in our association alone with 118 members. We probably have over almost nearly 1,000 job openings from entry level to high skilled workforce. And we're working very closely with the state's done a great job at the community college level as well as the technical high school level to develop that pipeline, certainly with the entry level, so that we can really backfill some of the jobs that we need.
Yeah, Commissioner, please.
Yeah, I remember when I first came on board working for the governor 5 years ago, he and I went on a road show listening to companies from around the state. And boy, the number one message we got was we can see a huge growth coming in manufacturing. We need to invest now in our community colleges, in the UConn Engineering School, in the technical high schools to make sure that we can fill the capacity of jobs that we expect to see. And so I give the governor a lot of credit. He saw that coming and made a number of investments in the first year he was in office, about $20 million into our community colleges, which helped them double their capacity. And you may have heard this year they're touting 300 new jobs in 300 days. They have a certification program now that can really put 300 people to work in less than a year. So it's really helpful, I think, for the industry to be able to have these qualified students coming out of the technical schools, the community colleges, to fill the jobs that Chris is talking to.
To that end, to help educate the pipeline, Chris, last week the aerospace components manufacturers had an event. Talk about that.
Yeah, we had our annual workforce fair and trade show, and we went to a larger location this year. We went to the Connecticut Convention Center, which is the largest location you can have in Connecticut. And so our cluster, our members, actually put in about $100,000 of their own money to put this event on. We had just over 100 of our members have table displays throughout the convention center. And during the morning, we invite all the middle schools, the high schools, and some of the colleges here in Connecticut to come through. And we had over 1,000 students come through and visit our individual members and learn about what they do at their specific companies, but also just about careers in manufacturing. A lot of people think, well, if I'm going to go into manufacturing, I'm going to be a CNC operator, I'm going to be an engineer. No, there's a lot of careers in manufacturing. My background was in law, but there's, you know, legal opportunities in manufacturing. There's HR opportunities. There's sales opportunities. There's finance opportunities. There's a wide breadth of opportunities in manufacturing, probably more so than a lot of other industries. So it was a great event. We had 1,000 students come through and really enjoyed educating them. It wasn't a job fair. It was just really educating them about careers in aerospace manufacturing. And then the afternoon, we invite some of our customers to come through, our external and internal customers to come through to see what we all have to offer. And we're fortunate to have Commissioner Smith there, Governor Malloy was there, Senator Blumenthal also came through, and it's a real exciting event for us. We're really looking to grow that in the years to come at the Connecticut Convention Center.
Do you think you captivated the students' interest?
No doubt. We've been doing this for 7 years. The first year we had just under 400 students there, probably from about 20 different schools, and like I said, this year we had over 1,000 students from over 40 different schools, and these aren't just your technical high schools. These are your more conventional high schools, your middle schools that we had as well. The students asked some really engaging questions. And when they hear about the pay scale and what substantial pay scale there is in aerospace manufacturing, when they hear about the breadth of opportunities there are, they certainly get interested. It's nice to see.
We're talking about well-paying jobs here.
These are great-paying jobs, and even at the entry level, they can be quite substantial. And I think one of the things that is really important is to change the mindset of parents as well as kids as well as the counselors for these kids, because I think in many people's minds there's still that old picture of a greasy floor when you're thinking manufacturing. It is not like that, believe me. I've been in and out of many manufacturers here, and now it's a technology driven industry, so it's exciting for these kids who are very tech dependent in many ways to see exactly how manufacturing is done. It's a very different world than their parents' world.
You know, I find that amazing, because it's been that way for a while now. I've been in and out of factories, and it's been that way for a while, where you can almost eat off the floor. They're
sure.
So clean, right? So
yeah.
So how does that image, why does that image persist?
With the students and the teachers, it's just not getting out of their own element. You know, they just, what they know of their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers in the manufacturing arena. And that's why we have the ACM Workforce Fair. That's why we have October is deemed Manufacturing Month nationally and in the state. A lot of companies open their doors for open houses. And we really try to encourage parents and counselors as well as students to just walk through a factory, a quote-unquote factory, what people now call brilliant factories, because really they're not, you know, the machining centers you used to see. They're giant computer systems that are making parts, a lot of robots, a lot of high-tech CAD systems that really excite this generation of workforce, because they want to be engaged in computers. That's what they know.
Right.
They know computers, and that's what manufacturing factories have become, really just computer-run, computer-oriented facilities that I think students were really engaged into.
And, you know, I mean, if you look at the graduation rates out of our community colleges, 97% of them are getting swept up into jobs. You know, out of the technical high schools, we're seeing about 50% go on for higher education, but the other 50% that are in manufacturing are going right into jobs often, or apprenticeship programs. So it is, I think it's working once we get the kids enrolled in a program that makes sense for them.
Yeah, it really is amazing. The job placement rate is
phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. That's the word for it, sure. We said well-paying before. Define well-paying.
Entry level with overtime could be $45,000 to $50,000 a year. It's just starting salary, basic, you know, some of the lower skilled folks, and then some of our direct labor people make six figures with overtime, and obviously you have engineering and finance and sales are all, you know, very close to six-figure salaries, if not above six-figure salaries. So I know when I graduated law school, I was making $35,000 a year in 1997, 1998. So I, as a student coming out of a technical high school system before they even have any college education or experience, the ability to potentially make $50,000 right at the start is just, you know, really incredible.
And you weigh that against going to school and incurring a lot of college debt, and perhaps you need to have a do-over as far as the career you want to pursue, right?
Certainly, yeah. And a lot of, I know our association members, we poll them every year about the benefits they offer. Many, many manufacturing companies offer tuition reimbursement. So just because you graduated technical high school and you've got a nice, well-paying job, that's not the end. A lot of the companies will offer tuition reimbursements to go to, you know, whether it's a community college or UConn and get an engineering degree or get an operations degree and really help develop those entry-level folks into higher-level skills.
You know, one area that we're still very focused on is trying to encourage more young women to enter into this field. And one of the programs I'm really excited about is Pratt & Whitney has a new ambassador program where they connect some of their younger employees, and particularly women, with incoming women who might be interested in working there. And I think this program is the kind of thing we're going to need to do as well because, again, I think there's a stereotype at some point in high school or around there that young women say, maybe I shouldn't go into math and science and technology and maybe manufacturing isn't for me. But in fact, these careers are great for anyone. And so, you know, I think we're trying to make sure we're being even more outreaching to those underrepresented parts of our economy.
And when you think about it, Commissioner, it's not that unusual. My mother worked in a factory.
Sure.
And she worked in a factory for years. And there were many women who worked in
Sure.
factories, you know. So old is new again, supposedly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wherever you get the pipeline from.
Exactly. You are listening to Front and Center. Our guests are Commissioner Catherine Smith of the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development and Chris DePentema of Middletown-based Pegasus Manufacturing, president of the Aerospace Components Manufacturers. Chris, talk a bit about Pegasus Manufacturing.
So Pegasus is what people used to call a job shop, but what we call today a contract manufacturer, which means we're an extension of our customers' manufacturing facilities. We don't design our own products. When our customers have a surge in demand or have a need, they basically outsource the manufacturing to Pegasus. And our specialty at Pegasus is what the industry calls tube assemblies. So if you ever took the cover off an airplane engine or the skin off an airplane, you would see series of tubes connected that move the fuel, the water, the hydraulic fluids throughout the engines and throughout the airplanes. So we manufacture the tube assemblies for Pratt & Whitney, Rolls-Royce, and General Electric, who are the major engine manufacturers, as well as some of the airframe folks like Airbus, Boeing, Bombardier. So we're a contract manufacturer who really stays close to our customers. Our key to success is trying to understand what our customers need 3, 4, 5 years from now, not just today, and coming up with a game plan to really support that growth.
Now, you mentioned this is a family-owned business.
It was family-owned, yeah. My dad started the company in 1989, and earlier this year, actually, we were consolidated. We merged into a larger parent company, so now we're part of a publicly traded company based in Carthage, Missouri. Our family got the business to a certain level, and in order to realize our true growth opportunities, we felt the need to sell the business to a larger parent who had really done a great job of supporting us. We've grown our employment by almost 12 people in the last 8 months since the acquisition. And our parent company has invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital equipment to help Pegasus grow even further than we were able to help grow.
Now, you're an attorney. You went to law school on the premise that you would go and work for the family company, or how did you get involved?
I went to law school on the premise I wouldn't get involved in the family company. But I went to law school, yeah. So my dad, like I said, started the company in 89, and my older brother joined shortly thereafter, and you hear enough of the business talk at the family dinners and the holiday dinners that you don't really want to get involved necessarily. So I went to law school, and then I practiced law as a trial attorney for about 7 years. And then my dad was getting up in age and decided he wanted to retire. So he asked me to come on board one last time, and I said yes and gave it a go at that point in time. And for a little while there, worked as both an attorney and at Pegasus just in case it didn't work out. But it's great. You know, having a legal background is phenomenal for going into manufacturing because it's all about analytics and understanding the business and how your business is currently performing and what you can do today to make it perform better tomorrow. So it's been a really good background for me, and the Aerospace Components Manufacturers Cluster has taken me under their arms and taught me a lot about manufacturing. If you ever visit Pegasus, everything you see, we've learned or saw at some other business here in Connecticut, and that's what's great about the cluster. We don't offer any services in the ACM, the Aerospace Components Manufacturers Cluster. We're just a networking group. We're just a benchmarking group. We're about getting folks together and visiting each other's shops and saying, oh, this is how you do that. That's a really good idea. Do you mind if I take that idea and bring it back to Pegasus? So we benchmarked at over 100 different companies, probably because of my lack of understanding of manufacturing, and brought a lot of ideas back to Pegasus and Pegasize them, as we called it.
Commissioner, you look at the aerospace industry here in Connecticut, and of course the big announcement earlier this year about Sikorsky.
Yes.
What does that mean for Connecticut's economy from the perspective of other businesses in the state?
Well, you know, I think all of this is a really good signal for Connecticut. Connecticut is now viewed as one of the model areas for aerospace manufacturing, not just in the United States, but also worldwide. And in part, it's because we are blessed to have an organization like ACM with a lot of very good small to mid-sized companies that are in the supply chain. We also have large OEMs, as they're called in the trade, large manufacturers, and Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky. You know, on the other side of advanced manufacturing in the state, we have Electric Boat for shipbuilding. And all of those companies then are buying from local contractors in many cases. And that is extremely helpful for our economy, because almost every dollar that you're spending gets multiplied downstream. And so when Sikorsky had the opportunity to figure out where they were going to build this next heavy lift helicopter, the CH-53K, they had choices, and they looked at Florida, they looked at, you know, other parts of the country. They have, Lockheed Martin has facilities all over the country, and they came to Connecticut and said, we really would like to build here because we think you have the expertise, the workforce that really has the skill set that's going to be needed to make this helicopter work. And so we worked with them. We came up with what I think is a really good win-win deal, that we are supporting what they do, but they have to grow their employees. They have to spend a certain amount of money in their supply chain in the state, and they're also going to be continuing to invest in capital equipment, et cetera. So this, I think, by making this long-term contract through 2032 with the company, really almost guarantees that the state is going to be, you know, continue to be a real player in the aerospace industry. So we're really thrilled about it, and the Sikorsky people, I think, feel exactly the same way. It truly is a win-win for us, for them, and of course for the federal government, who's the ultimate customer here for this helicopter.
You talk about the supply chain. Give us, I'll ask each of you this question. Give us an example of how a small business is part of the supply chain.
Well, some small businesses in the ACM alone are direct suppliers to Sikorsky or Pratt. There's a lot of small business set-asides that the government requires. That means the set-asides mean that the government spending, or the government contractor, in this case Sikorsky, has to spend a certain amount of money with small businesses. So we have small businesses in the ACM who are direct suppliers to the OEM, and we have quite a few who are what called Tier 2 or Tier 3, meaning if Sikorsky is the OEM, Pegasus is the Tier 1, their direct supplier. We are then placing work with a supplier of ours, and they're placing work with another supplier of theirs. And that's what's great about the Connecticut ecosystem. Just from a background, ACM is the largest aerospace cluster, not in the country, in the world.
Wow.
The largest independent cluster in the world. And when I say independent, there's some clusters out there in England and Italy who are financed by the federal government, but their ACM is, you know, their own financing agent. And Connecticut, the Connecticut aerospace ecosystem, is the third largest in the world, behind Toulouse, France, which is where Airbus is, and Seattle, Washington, which is where Boeing is. So Connecticut has this huge infrastructure of OEM, your Sikorsky's, your Pratt, your Hamiltons and Electric Boats, your Tier 1s like Pegasus, but then your Tier 2s and your Tier 3s, those small manufacturers who are maybe doing a special process, painting or plating, or who are doing some machining that we then bring to Pegasus and we assemble, and then we send it on to the Sikorsky's and the Pratt of the world. So the ecosystem in Connecticut, you drive the Route 91 corridor, and the ecosystem of aerospace manufacturing is unreal. It's unsurpassed, which is why, even though we may be a higher cost area, a lot of the OEMs want to do business in Connecticut because the parts aren't traveling across the country or across the world.
I see you shaking your
head. Yeah, and exactly. And because of that expertise I mentioned before, because we have really skilled workforce that knows how to, you know, make these very precise machinery that goes into these airplanes. And, you know, there's no messing around. When it's going in an airplane, it has to work perfectly, right? So that's what we're good at here.
Right. What's the future look like?
I'm very optimistic. You know, I think we know both Pratt & Whitney, who have now agreed to stay in the state for 20 years themselves, as well as Sikorsky, who's just, as I mentioned, decided to build a very large helicopter, therefore creating some demand here through 2032, with the likelihood that Electric Boat is going to end up with the same, with a new, the replacement for the Ohio class submarine. You know, I think we, it's ours to lose. We need to make sure we continue to provide that employment, the ready workforce that can come in and take these jobs that are going to be continuing to grow. So I'm very optimistic because I think we can do that, and I think the state will be a beneficiary in the long haul, and all of our constituents here in the state as well, all of the people that want to go into this industry, there's going to be terrific opportunities.
No, I agree. Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but the state has made significant investments in manufacturing. There's a lot of incredible programs out there, apprenticeship, incumbent worker training, voucher program. I mean, so there's financing out there, there's workforce out there. The state has, I'll say, more than doubled down on manufacturing, and I think it's just getting the word out to the manufacturers themselves that there's a lot of opportunities out there for them to help grow their business.
Did the state just receive another grant recently along those lines, did I read?
The state has gotten a couple of, it may be a Department of Labor grant to help us with apprenticeship programs and training in general. The federal government has also been very supportive of some of the work we need to get done here to keep up with this new demand from the industry. So, yeah, we take advantage of all those programs that we possibly can. Last year, the state was designated as a IMCP region. That's the Investing in Manufacturing
Community
partnerships, and we were designated because of our aerospace and shipbuilding, and that helps put us on the map more literally. And it helped us because it puts us at the top of the list for federal dollars too when we're applying at the Department of Transportation or Department of Labor or Energy or any of the other places. So we're trying to take full advantage of that designation too.
Okay, we have about a minute left. Chris, anything else you'd like to add?
I'll just repeat a little bit, but thank Commissioner Smith for all the work that her and her organization has done and this administration has done. There's a lot of programs out there to help manufacturers, and I think it's just getting the word out to those manufacturers to, and like everything else in the industry, there's been radical change. So the way people used to do business with the government is, laborious and binds and binds of paper. Today it's much more streamlined, it's much more easy, it's very government friendly, I'll say. And there's just a lot of fantastic programs out there for folks to have a little less maybe risk in the game and to really take advantage of these growth opportunities.
You can find all those programs at decd.org if you want to check them out yourself.
And we have another 30 seconds. So, Chris, sell the aerospace industry to perhaps someone who's considering a career in aerospace.
A lot of opportunity, not just in the pay side, but a lot of opportunity for advancement. You may come in as a machinist and then down the road be an engineer, and then the next thing you know, you'll be a general manager, and the next thing you know, you'll be a CEO. They're just unlimited opportunities and where you can go in aerospace manufacturing, and it's just a great industry to be in right now.
Commissioner Smith, Chris DePentaba, thank you both for appearing on Front and Center.
Pleasure.
Thank you.